West Tigers fans, our boys, they went to Bathurst. They were brave in their defeat to the Panthers. Were they rorted by the bunker again? We'll talk about that, Sinbin, in another episode of West Tigers Therapy on the West Life Podcast. Welcome into another episode of the West Life Podcast. I am your host, Josh Barnett. We are, as always, sponsored by Holman Barnes Group, including West Ashfield, the best place to watch the game live and loud. And you can do that if you're not heading to Campbelltown next weekend. Be sure to check out West Ashfield or one of their other venues at West Life Pod on Instagram and Twitter. Please give us a follow. And in the profile pages or at westtigers.com.au, you will find the link to all the stuff that we do, including our YouTube channel. Shouts to our regulars. I see them all pouring in through the comments, watching us live again for another West Tigers game review. And if you'd like to support and take part in the show, patreon.com/westlife. Righto, let's get straight into it. Let's get to the boys. Let's go to Mr. Thompson first. Mr. Thompson, how are you this evening? The boys played not far from your hometown of Orange. I think we've discussed this before. I think it's, 100 kilometres-ish from your hometown. And, the bunker, it seems, that they were obviously in outer space because they had no idea what was going on.
Yeah, half that distance, Josh. But g'day, everyone. How's everyone going? Hope you're all having a good Monday. Yeah, it was a strange one. Glad the boys put up a fight. That's probably the main thing. We didn't give up. We didn't quit. We kept fighting till the bitter end. Just a few passes here and there letting us down. And yeah, as we'll get into tonight, some awful officiating.
Coming in from the red room, and I'm sure Saturday afternoon he was burning red, just like the rest of us were. Mr. Bashara, how are you this evening?
Yeah, a little bit tired, guys. I've had a bit of a long day, early start, long day, getting too old. I'm okay. We've got a bit to discuss tonight. Just really disappointed for everyone in the club. We showed up to play, so did Penrith. No guarantee of a win, of course, but yeah, there are turning points and there are turning points. And yeah, I just was livid. I was absolutely livid. I'm sick of things that happen to us that don't happen, you know, in 30 years of football or 40 years of football. They just, the era of first things happening to us just continues. It just always happens, guys. And I don't know. I didn't expect too much from the year boys, but you know, when you have a couple of good wins back to back against Cronulla and Para, and you're hovering around that 50% win ratio, and you know, knowing the Panthers were without Cleary and May, this game was there for the taking. And, you know, maybe we didn't deserve it in the end, but I just think we might have been a try or so away from breaking their back because we were really in the fight. And, look, all around, I'm pleased with the effort. Obviously, there's some execution that's got to be improved with. But, gosh, it was 10 times better than what we showed against St. George. Like, we actually showed up with intent and belief and ready to play, and we didn't get that the week before. So, yeah, disappointed, but that's life.
That's life indeed. As I mentioned at the top of the show, if you want the best place to watch the game live and loud, we take on the Broncos next weekend. If you want to head out to all the way to Campbelltown, if you live closer to the inner west, the best place on the big screen. If you want to have a nice wood-fired pizza from the new Villaggio restaurant or some succulent Chinese meal from the new Chinese restaurant as well. West Ashfield, the best place to watch the game live and loud. Right, let's get angry. Let's bring up Mr. Annesley. And this is what he said. Of course, if you don't know, I probably should have stated it. If you missed the game, basically what happened, the Tigers were up 6-0 and we made a break. It was Tupou ran down the sideline. He had Justin Ollum on his inside, 99.9% of the time, you're thinking tries on here. It was 5-on-1 or 5-on-2, basically. All he has to do is pass the ball inside. Justin Olam would score under the post almost certainly. Yeah, if he ran that play 100 times, I think Justin Olam scores under the post 99 times. So what happened was the Panthers halfback Schneider, he fell over and decided to stick his hand out and ankle tap a player that doesn't have the ball. And he somehow the Panthers were awarded a penalty. They were awarded a penalty. We had to challenge it, and the commentators said it. We all thought it. Every single person, unless you had Panthers goggles on, was thinking, sin bin, got to be a sin bin here. And no, they said, okay, it's a penalty to the Tigers. We're all waiting for the sin bin, waiting, and it never came. So I'm just bringing up the sound now. I just realized it's not ready to go. So here is Graeme Annesley. If you missed it today, here is his press. What's it called? He calls it the Monday briefing, I believe. So here is Graeme talking about this particular incident.
Yeah, it should have been a sin bin, in my view. And we've discussed this morning. We've discussed it with the referees' coaching staff and the referees that were in the room this morning. Both factors, both tripping. And also that kind of interference to a player who's a support player who's not in possession of the ball. I haven't clipped it here, but I know exactly the incident you're talking about. It doesn't matter that whether they would have scored a try or not. You can't interfere deliberately with a support player and effectively bring him to the ground and prevent him from having any opportunity to play a part in what might happen next, whether it's a try or not, and escape without going to the sin bin in that situation, in my view. So, again, you know, I'm always reluctant to put a black and white answer on anything because circumstances next time could be slightly different. But that was only a relatively minor tap, but it was a deliberate tap. He has to reach out to do it. So he is falling, but he does reach out to do it, and it does bring the player down. So in my view, that certainly warrants a sin bin.
So Graeme Annesley, look, he didn't apologise for it. He just blatantly said it was the wrong call. Funny enough, I mentioned that it took the bunker to be summoned from a appeal from Appy, a review, sorry. And Annesley didn't even talk about the incident until the journalist actually asked about it. So I would have assumed, look, the whole world doesn't revolve around the West Tigers, and I'm sure there's 7 other games that he had to talk about as well. But Rob, that aside, does Graham make you feel any bit better about the incident there?
No, not at all. I mean, the fact that he said, in his opinion, it should be a sin bin, he needs to be stronger than that. This isn't a grey area, guys. This isn't a 50-50 decision. This is 100% decision. At a minimum, it's a sin bin. Firstly, as he said, I don't know if Schneider was falling or not. To me, it was a Michael Phelps Olympic dive off the blocks to make sure he got it. Look, firstly on Schneider, I'm just going to say this straight up, guys. He's a disgrace to himself and a disgrace to his family, okay? Nathan Cleary would never have done that under any circumstances. There's levels of gamesmanship and there's what he did the other day. That absolutely crosses the line in terms of blatant cheating. You know, to put it in soccer parlance, you know, if a forward had an open goal and he had the keeper to beat and a defender came from behind and tackled him, that's as deliberate a cheating act as I've seen in a long time. I'd actually need someone to remind me of a worse incident of cheating. So firstly on Schneider, like, I hope he never plays another game of first grade. I hope he stays in reserve grade for the next 10 years. As for hearing from Graeme Annesley, I'd rather hear from Grant Atkins. Like, how does Grant Atkins not justify that's a sin bin? It's not only the act of tripping him over and a player in support. The clear thing that Annesley has left out. It's in a potential try-scoring situation. It's a sin bin. If you interviewed 100 people, unless they're Penrith supporters, 100 people with eyes will tell you that's a sin bin. And what's worse about it, all the officials missed it live. And if Tupu's pass hadn't hit Galvin's foot and put Tupu back in an offside situation and it was just play on, we wouldn't have even got it reviewed. Like, this bypassed all the officials totally. And the fact that Annesley hasn't even clipped it today again proves that we don't get the rub from the refs, or we're not important to the refs. Our club has had a problem with the referees since the Parramatta game. Even though we won the Parramatta game, I know the club was privately fuming. They wanted to speak to the officials about how we get treated, because it seems like at every away game, you know, we cop it. Like Canberra, we didn't get a look in for the first 10 minutes. Parramatta seemed to get all the calls against us. When we had the Dolphins game, I mean, the Appy Coruscant incident, another game-changing incident. So we've had plenty of incidents with the referee, and I'm sick of this guy coming out on Monday and saying, well, in my opinion, it should have been a sin bin. No, in everyone's opinion, that's a sin bin every day of the week. And, you know, someone will say, oh, yeah, big deal, it was in the 12th minute, blah, blah, blah. Guys, if we just talk about those first 12 minutes, both teams came out to play. We went set for set with the Panthers. And in my opinion, Penrith were getting on top. They were getting the better of field position. Naden took a beautiful AFL catch at one stage to defuse a bomb. We got a penalty. We went down the other end. We weathered the storm and we scored. And then from the kickoff, we've almost scored again. And, you know, if you go back to Penrith's last game, Penrith scored against Manly, and then Manly hit back with a few tries. And once Manly got like 12 points ahead, game over. Like, Penrith kind of put the cue in the rack. We were that close to busting the game open. It killed our confidence. And then against a team like Penrith, you've got to play from in front. Like, you want to be ahead. You want to go with the grind. You don't want to push passes. You want to keep it simple. And a lot of the errors we made after that, I think, are because we were playing catch-up and scoreboard pressure.
100%.
Down 10-6, down 16-6. And like I said, you know, at the start, I kind of expected to come last at the start of the year. But, you know, in my heart, I want to come in the top eight. Like, I want to make the finals, and I want to keep within touching distance of that. And this ref just killed that opportunity totally. Now, would we have won the game? Maybe, maybe not. But I'll tell you what, the game wouldn't have been over with 15 minutes left. You know, you're down 16-6 and then 22-6. We're in it up to our necks. And it was just disappointing, because the boys, in my opinion, never showed up against St. George. As Benji said, we wanted to win easy. Obviously, we'd rested, we'd recovered, we came in with a clear game plan. You know, we were smashing Penrith's right-hand side, some beautiful cutout balls, whether it was from Galvin, whether it was from Caesar, whether it was from Buller with a beautiful face ball. We'd identified Penrith's right as a weakness, and we were absolutely going places with it. Our red zone attack is still, you know, very clunky, and, you know, the passes aren't, they're not even crisp, and they're harbour bridge type passes. But, you know, okay. I mean, to a neutral observer, so here we go. These guys are whinging about something with that, you know, with 68 minutes left and we still could have won the game. Yeah, we could have won the game. But you know what? We're playing the three-time premiers. We're playing the best defence in the league. We need things to go our way, and we don't need 50-50s. We need 100% things. And you give a team like Penrith a chance, they take advantage of it. You know, you get to the, obviously, the tries, you'll play all the tries, but Tupu drops a simple catch downfield, the next set, Penrith score. So you've got to be at your best, but you can't have the refs against you as well. So is it frustrating? Of course it's frustrating, but I'm used to it. All West Tigers fans are used to it. We cop it all the time, and, you know, just got to accept it. But for me, like, going into Brisbane 3-3 would be better than going into it 2-4. And I don't give ourselves much chance of beating Brisbane. Not because we won't shove off or we won't try. They're just too big, too fast, too classy. Like, they're the one team we don't match up again. Give me Penrith 9 times and Brisbane 1 time. That, like, we don't match up well against Brisbane. So it's just very disappointing. And the boys had a red hot crack, and you could see they went out there believing they could win. And just to have that taken off you, and you could see the heads down near the end of the game, even though we tried, we never gave up, but you could just see, like, it felt like the air had gone out of the team, and it's very hard to back up from that. So I'm sick of Annesley's excuses. That's the first time I heard it. I didn't even want to listen to it today, but that's all we seem to get, excuses every week. And, you know, I guess, you know, Panthers fans can say, what about, you know, the kick downfield on, I think when Caesar tackled Schneider after a kick. He kind of collected him like Josh Alloway did on Sean Johnson's field goal. And maybe that was warranting of a penalty, and they could have got a penalty and we wouldn't have scored our first try. But, man, we need the – we can't – this isn't a 50-50, guys. This is just – you know, if you see this in 10 more times this year, you're going to see 10 sin bins at a minimum. And worst part is, too, I just think if Schneider wasn't such a low life, okay, I think we score there because Tupu would still be alive on the left. I think there was Galvin inside Ollam and someone else there.
And Bateman as well.
Yeah, and the only guy coming across was Jerome Luai, who, you know, just on a side note, he's coming to us next year. He missed six tackles. Like, his defense has got to improve anyway. So I didn't see him stopping a try. And look, we could have botched it up. We could have botched it up with a bad pass or a knock on.
Maybe.
Like, we've seen bomb tries, but man, that just, you know, once Tupu dropped the ball later on in the half, I just kind of half zoned out. I thought it's just not going to be our day. But, you know, it all could have been different. Imagine going back to back against the Premiers. You're feeling 10 feet tall. You know, we're cooking with gas and we don't have to do anything silly. We just get to our fifth tackles, put them in the corners and say, come on, Penrith, you go 90 metres and score. Like I said it in the preview, you've got to get on top of Penrith early. If we're with them after 20 minutes, we're a chance of winning the game. We still were in the game. We were even in the game at half time. But, you know, some errors which we'll get to in the second half, particularly the Steph, you know, losing the ball on the first tackle, that really hurt. But, again, I think the whole psyche, the whole, you know, momentum of the game changes if we're up 12-0. And who knows, we might have gone up 18-0. Like, the boys were just playing with confidence. When do you see the Tigers throw cutout balls 20 and 30 metres out from our own line? When do you ever see that? So, yeah, it's frustrating, man. It's just, I'm disheartened because I know there's 100 games left to go, but I just feel like, you know, not our season isn't over, but, you know, we needed to keep in touch, guys. Yep. It's going to make it really tough now. And the Canterbury game next week is just, that's going to take grand final proportions because, you know, I'm actually writing the Brisbane game off. Pardon me for saying that to people that want to hold hope. But they're going to have a full team this week. I think they got four players that are due to come back, and they were pretty awesome the other night against, you know, what was a pretty informed Canberra Raiders team.
Just a comment, John Bailey said the match review committee didn't even find Schneider. Look, and I saw a comment, someone in our Patreon Discord shared a tweet by a Panthers fan. The Panthers fans were disgusting with this. Like, well, you mentioned that Aiden Caesar should have been a penalty when he brushed his legs. It's not like he charged. It wasn't like Papali'i when Papali'i dived at the legs of the field goal against the Raiders last week. That was obviously a fair enough penalty. Aiden Caesar runs across in front of the path of where he's kicking. He doesn't run at his legs. He doesn't beeline at his legs. He goes across, and as Edwards moves forward, he brushes his leg. Now, should have, like you said, it could well have been a penalty, but those things are a 50-50 call all the time. And for the Panthers fans to have the audacity to come out and say that it's comparable to blatant cheating when you take off literally a 99% chance of a try and it's not a sin binning to compare the two, absolute idiot. I've lost all respect for Panthers fans. Obviously not all of them, but the ones that I say are trying to compare the two. Every single comment on the highlights, because obviously I'm clipping and stuff for this show and looking and have West Tiger stuff popping up. Fan base, every single person commented on this game saying the sin bin was a joke and they weren't just Tigers fans. People saying, I'm an X fan. This is a joke. Panthers fans, well, what about the Aiden Caesar? We brush your leg on a kick. Get over it. You literally cost us a try when we were 6-0 up. And you know damn well, if we're 12-0 up, as Rob said, he kind of took the words out of my mouth here, we play a completely different game, a sliding doors moment, as I like to say, after that, if we're up 12-0. Having a 12-0 lead is very different to a 6-0 lead. And it starts putting young Schneider, if he doesn't do this, I won't call him names like Rob did, but young Schneider's not Nathan Cleary. He's not Nathan Cleary in that doing that, but he's not Nathan Cleary because he's not the best player in the world too. If the Panthers are 12-0 down, they might start playing differently as well because they're suddenly playing catch-up football and might be going, oh, shit, we don't want to lose to the Tigers again here. It completely changes everything in that game. Like, it's just, it's, and like you said, Benji said the rubbing. I said people said Benji's complaining about the Tigers. Another thing about this penalty, I put it out on our Twitter, is, as I'll get your opinion on this, it's another thing. I've watched rugby league for 30 years. I've never seen someone dive and ankle tap a support player. Now, against Parramatta, we saw Puppy held back. I can't remember which Parramatta player was it. Gutho scored anyway. As you and I were watching the game, we were right in front of that. We said, Puppy, if they don't score there, he would have been in the sin bin. I think all West Tigers fans admitted that Puppy was probably lucky that Parra scored off it. Would have been a sin bin. We admitted it. He held him back. But this guy literally diving and ankle tapping. I've never, ever seen this. I've watched probably 1,000 games of rugby league in my 30 years of watching it. I've never seen anything like it. Like, it's insane. And, like, it's crazy as. It's just another moment in West Tigers history where it's literally, if you talk about, obviously, the Cowboys kickoff, there's 1,000 things. 1,000 West Tigers. The second ball in the field we mentioned a couple of weeks ago when old mate from the Knights kicked the second ball at our fullback and that didn't get penalized. Like, it's literally this. So look, I'm not a religious person, but there must be someone somewhere that's a deity that hates the West Tigers. I'm starting to believe that. As, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's just an absolute crap show, isn't it? The fact that this happens so often to certain teams, particularly ours, that's the most frustrating part. Like you mentioned a few there, Josh, with us playing the Broncos this week, the one that sticks out to me the most was Ashley Klein in 2018 saying that we were not square at marker for one of their field goal attempts in Golden Point, and the fact that they didn't play the ball square at marker to begin with. And the fact that week after week after week, Graham Annesley just seems to come out and have to say something about how the Tigers were not necessarily robbed, but a call was made incorrectly. And it just happens over and over and over again. Something's got to change. Like, why are there certain clubs getting the rub of the green while clubs like ours, we have not only a battle to, like, our battle to get away from the wooden spoon isn't just with improving the team, getting new players, getting in better positions. It's having to deal with crap officiating that constantly sets us back time and time again. I mean, it's not even just the fact that he wasn't sin-binned. If Schneider does get sin-binned, they're down to 12 players for 10 minutes. Who isn't to say we could potentially have put on another try or potentially another two tries in that time? I mean, during the time where Schneider would have been sin-binned, we had that knock-on or that ball thrown out of the field missed by Staines down the near touchline. And, like, that was a bad miss. And if that ball was passed a little bit better, Staines probably catches that and probably goes in, and that's against 13. That's a much easier position to be in if they're down to 12.
Clint saying Josh keen to meet up with Panthers fans in the Tuttle Heritage Reed style.
Yeah, Josh, there's like, yeah. I said, there's levels of gamesmanship. We see escorts, we see disruptors, we see jersey pulls, we see all that. I don't know how many NRL players there are. I mean, you work it out, 30 times 17 in its squads. What's that, 510? I don't think there's anyone else other than Schneider. There's no one else other than Schneider that would have done a full-length dive and ankle-tap someone without the ball. Like you said, you haven't seen it in 30 years. I haven't seen it in over 50 years. To use Bill Harrigan's, you know, ridiculous phrase of the 89, it's against the spirit of the game. No one does that. I said, there's kind of levels of cheating. You know, you can stand in front of the try line offside by a meter or two or something like that. But this is awful. This is actually, and as we said, it's a trip. I mean, what's the difference between a trip with your foot and a trip with your hand when you don't have the ball? Like, it's still a trip.
I guess injury. I wonder if
it's a send-off. And he hasn't even got a fine. And Graham Annesley just wanted, he actually didn't want to talk about it because he didn't even clip it. That's the main talking point of this game. the Wooden Spooners against the Premiers, the biggest turning point I've seen in a long time. And boy, have we had some turning points in games over the years, and we've never been able to, you know, overcome them, unfortunately. This is one of the worst turning points I've ever seen. And I'm saying that after 2 weeks ago when Appy Corrissau got ripped off against the Dolphins. Okay, so it just seems to happen to us very regularly. And, you know, maybe we're harping on it a bit too much, but given the fact that we'd weathered that early storm, we'd scored a try, we identified Penrith's right side, the fact that I believe for the way the Tigers play, you've got to get ahead of them and stay ahead of them, just like we did last year in Bathurst in wet conditions, just like we did in Leichhardt during COVID. We were always in front. We kept the pressure on them and we frustrated them to death. And that's what probably would have happened in this game. And, you know, look, I still don't think we beat Brisbane. We would have gone into the Brisbane game with a lot of confidence. We would have still been in touch. And I just think this has wrecked our season. I really do. Like I said, we might not have won the game, but I believe we would have won the game. But, you know, who's to say we 68 minutes left? I mean, they might have plucked another decision out of their ass that would have ripped us off that we didn't even consider. And when we might have got sin bin for something. And then it just compounded by Liam Martin, allegedly, because he's looking at the ball and he dives 4 metres away from the ball. And he's not a chance, unless he's Inspector Gadget, he's never catching that freaking ball. And it's just, oh, no worries, play on, try, ball gets shifted out the back line to Ruva scores. Like, it just happens to us all the time, guys. And it's a turn off on NRL. It just always seems like it's us. We you know, if you're looking at it from a legal point of view, if there's something that's worthy of a 2-year sentence, we get the death penalty. You know, we always just cop it extra hard for anything we do. We get punished to the full letter of the law, but other teams, they just seem to get away with it. And the fact that Schneider didn't even get some sort of fine, or that the match review committee didn't think it was enough to say, you know what, we've got to cut this out of the game. That's a really bad look, someone diving full length to trip a support player. I think we've harped on about it too much, but it's just beyond frustrating, guys, because the boys came to play. So did Penrith, but we came to play. We weathered the early storm. We got the try. Should have been a back-to-back try. And look, we did get a penalty, and Charlie Staines probably should have scored if he'd have pushed up with Naden. But again, that's their first time together this year. And, you know, what happened after that with Tupu breaking his foot, that really hurt us, because obviously there were positional switches. Bateman went from left edge to right centre, and, you know, Brent Naden went from right centre to left wing. So it was always going to be a pretty tough task afterwards. But trust me, guys, I've calmed down now. Like, this is calm. I mean, I think you guys saw the language I was using privately. But, you know, I promise you I'm not going to use it on the show. But, yeah, I got absolutely zero respect for Schneider. And if he never sees the rugby league field again, that'd be good for me.
We had a brilliant chance in this game without Cleary. Like, we all saw what Cleary did in the grand final last year and how he orchestrated that incredible comeback. Going up against Schneider in the number 7 instead of Cleary, I think if we do have a lead of 10, 12, maybe even 14 points, we can hold on with that, because while they do have the talent, they don't have the best player in the comp.
And Benji wants us, we're grinded out. Benji says we want to be a grinded out team. And I think, yeah, we could. Well, we may not have. We may have lost from 12-0 on the front, but it's. I reckon it's a 300% more of a chance than ends up being 6-0. It's a 12 points swing. Another thing that it's annoying me too this year, like when we won 2 games, West Tigers fans are going to buy grand final tickets. We obviously don't think we're going to do better than the Panthers this year. Like, we obviously think that these 2 points probably won't matter, and we probably won't make the top 8 this year. But over the last 3 years, the shit that we've gone through as West Tigers fans, having moments like this, like the Panthers win last year, having these little moments is the little breadcrumbs that we have as West Tigers fans at the moment. We don't have the champagne coming our way. We haven't seen it for a long time. Not that people should feel sorry for us more, and that decisions should be based on feeling sorry for the team, but it just annoys me that, like, the people have the audacity to think, well, it's only the Tigers as well. It doesn't matter. It just shits me. Like, it's just,
how do you expect the team to improve when they cop this garbage every single week?
And like Rob said,
the video ref refereed us like $5 outsiders. He refereed us like we're meant to win the game. I'm not going to say too much about the on-field ref, because obviously he missed that incident.
I'm fine with him missing It's a fast game. Look, the referee may not have. I think they should bring it. Firstly, I reckon they should bring out two referees. I need two sets of eyes back. Maybe, I don't know. I can forgive the referee for thinking maybe he just tripped over because it's an ankle tap. He probably had his eyes on Tupou. I can kind of forgive the ref. I'm angry at the bunker because the bunker had six fucking replays of it and still didn't give us.
But Josh, if you trip over, if I'm Schneider and I trip over, I'm bracing myself for the fall. I'm not sticking my arms full length out.
I know, but the referee might not have been looking.
There's just no incident there where that's just an accident. I will say it again. And I don't care what people think of me. There's only Grant Atkins is the only one in the world that would not have called that a sin bin. Like, so I question his integrity as well. I just think it's clear bias. Yep. There's no. It's just so. It's such a 100% thing that I don't even think it's a 1% not a sin bin. But the fact that it's a try scoring opportunity, the fact that it's a deliberate foul play, the fact that the player didn't have the ball, like Jesus, I could write an essay about it, mate. It's just ridiculous. Mm. And again, it's happened to us. And, you know, then we lose by 30 to the Broncos this week. And people are, we're not good enough anyway. It's a rebuilding year, blah, blah, blah. Like, get stuffed. You know, we need to have those glimmers of hope. We need to be hanging on close enough. Because you just look at all the other teams, you know, like what's Jamal Fogarty for Canberra? He's out for 12 weeks. That's going to hurt them. Kalen Ponga's out for 12 weeks. He's their whole team. Like, the Knights are pretty much gone. Like, all you need is a few teams to just have this injury carnage, and if you're hanging around the eight and you're staying healthy, you're going to make the eight. You know, like if every way people are dropping out around you, like for unfortunate circumstances, we'd be in a position to take those spots. It just kills me, guys. We haven't seen finals since 2011. Like this is, you know, this is what we live for every weekend. Like our team's playing, our boys were so great to come back from that rubbish they produced against St. George, a team we should have thrashed. And then to be up for this game and play the way they did with that intent, with the belief, with a strong game plan, great coaching plan by Benji. Like, yeah, we want to be in the grind, but we were prepared to throw the ball around in our own half, maybe because our red zone attack is pretty poor. We thought, you know what, let's get them from long range, which we did. We smashed that blind side on the first try. We literally went three tackles in a row down that short side. We obviously found a weakness in Penrith, and I bet you other teams are going to exploit it as well because Tungo was coming up. Liam Martin looked all lost at sea. He's meant to be a rep second rower. Same with Taruva. So I think you're going to see more teams in the future attacking Penrith's right. But I don't care what they do. It's just this decision, I think, potentially costs us a game, and it's not good enough.
Chief Supreme on YouTube asks, is this worse than the felt? Look, the felt incident's all time. That's number one, takes the cake.
Because it's not. No, this is worse.
We win the game. But the felt thing, we 100% win the game. This is,
thing's acting, Josh. The felt thing is acting. That's gamesmanship. I bumped into, what's his name? Asu Kapoa's shoulder, and I fall over and I play dead. The other bloke's deliberately freaking, it's like he was going to cling on to the roots of a branch or something on the edge of a waterfall, and he was going to fall off. He's done that with Olympic precision to get the ankle tap. And we got, you know, two men inside Ollam, and Tupou would have been alive again on the left. It's going to be 10-0 with a kick to come. It's just
probably under the post
cheating, like Kyle Felt just taking the piss out of the referees because they know that the refs will do anything if
it's sure. I get what you're saying. Yeah, I'm angry. I'm angrier. It's definitely a dirtier play in this case. I think I was more upset with the Cowboys one because it actually literally. But yeah,
see, Josh, I see.
They both suck.
I see with our team, like, you know, as well as we played on Saturday, I see a team that's physically tired a little bit. I also see a team that's mentally fatigued. And I especially think when you win a game like that, it just reboots the brain cells. You know, like it just makes you feel better about everything. You got a bit of a spring in your step at training, and the boys are probably thinking, geez, if we lose to the Broncos, you know, we're going to be 2-5 and media's going to come on our back, and gosh, we've put a lot into the first seven games of the year and we're 2-5. It's disheartening. It's just really disheartening. And we're just fans, and we go to games, and you know, when we don't go to games, we watch it on TV. These guys have to live it and breathe it, and it's just bad for everyone in the club, man. Like, I was really I was very impressed with the game plan that we had, and we were executing it, and we just didn't get the referee's decisions. And if it was a 50-50, I can say, you know what, fair enough, it's a 50-50. That's never a 50-50, guys. It's as black and white a decision as I've ever seen in my life.
Speaking of loyal...
And we still haven't even touched on what happened with Caesar late in the second half and how... if
Yeah, we'll get like, to the game.
Yeah.
Okay, as a whole. Yeah. No, it's all right. This is, I'm just going to give our shout out. We're talking about loyal fans. Our loyal sponsor, Stephen and Mobile Corp, they're a proud sponsor of the West Life podcast. The business in its early days were a major sponsor of the Balmain Tigers for you, all your business IT needs from cloud-based telephony. If I got that right, Rob, that word? Telephony, security, desktop support, or anything Microsoft, reach out to Mobile Corp through their website, mobilecorp.com.au. Mention you're a listener of the West Life podcast. Sorry to cut you off, Az. I had the Mobile Corp logo up there for quite a while on the video, and I really wanted to get out there and get... We're 36 minutes in, and we've talked about a 3-second incident of the game. Let's do the whole game as a whole. Is there anything, Az, or do you want to go try by try?
Yeah, let's go try by try. We'll fit it in
where it will fit. Let's start with happy things, because the West Tigers did score first.
Now short side play. Galvin to Bateman. Bateman, he's threaded one over to Junior Tupo, who's found space and plunges over.
And Coruscant down the short side. And it's Galvin, summed it up beautifully, found Bateman. Bateman able to get the pass across in front of Justin Ollam, and he couldn't believe his luck. Junior Tupou, a free run to the line against Penrith. You do not see that often.
As I don't know about you, when I was watching this, it was so easy. A West Tigers winger scoring this easy against the Panthers, I didn't celebrate because I thought it had to have been something like illegal in there. Such as the West Tigers fan, you expect to try to come off, but no, just a nice little play down the left edge.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting this. Obviously, I don't think any of us were expecting this, but we got off to a really great start there. I wasn't sure, looking at it live, if something might have happened that could have potentially overruled the try, but I mean...
Oh, there wasn't. I was just being delusional. I was scared. Okay. I was just scared.
No, I didn't see anything. So we celebrated. I was watching with my dad and my brother, and it felt great to score first. I was like, oh, we might be onto something here.
Rob, any thoughts on this try?
Oh, it was good to finally see one of our wingers get a try this year. It was our, sixth game, and finally one of our wingers got a try. I just think, again, it was a lot to do with Appy. Appy just peppered that blind side for three tackles in a row. And as I said earlier, we weathered a really good to and fro, a bit of a game of forcings back with Penrith. And honestly, once we scored that try, I thought, game on, like, because we really hadn't had the better of play. Not that we were playing badly. They kind of had all the field position. But once we got that try, I thought, beautiful. I said it last week in the preview, we've got to be with Penrith at the 20-minute mark. And, you know, to get a try within the first 10 minutes, that was happy days. And it should have been happier days from the next set.
I have got a clip of the Symbian itself because that came after when we were 6-0 up. Here is that incident. I might as well play the audio of it as well.
Galvin the Fuller. Right. Early ball. Look at the space for Tupou. Look at the space for Tupou. He burns off Tuggle. Oh, it is kicked ahead by Galvin after Ollam tripped over.
What's the Symbian
in front
here?
Of the kick.
No, it's a Penrith
in front
penalty
of the kick
offside.
Chase.
Surely if Ollam takes that, he's...
Look, his ankle tapped him.
Pretty much home.
Yep. Sinbin.
Without the footy profession.
Fred Schneider is falling, but reaches with his right hand, which makes contact with Justin Ollam. Well,
yeah.
So Michael Ennis thought it was a Sinbin, but the bunker didn't. Has any thoughts on this one? Any extra thoughts that we haven't covered here? Because I know Rob and I have had, well in our bag with this one. But anything else to add? Or do you want to... head on to the Taruva try that happened not... Because I think this one, the Taruva... Was it the first Taruva try or the second Taruva try? That's an annoying one. I can't remember.
The disruptor?
Yeah.
That was the first try.
First try. So we go... Do you got anything else on the Symbian, Az? Or do you want to go to the Taruva try?
I just think it's a little bit stupid when, like you guys said before, the commentators even think it should have been a sin bin, and then they were utterly surprised that the penalty went against us. But, you know, it happens apparently on a regular basis. But
the whole world except Grant Atkins, the whole world.
Yeah. Right, here's the try. So after that non-sin bin, the West Tigers, the Panthers went the other way.
Right on the try line, Martin making his presence felt. Yo, clever, Edwards. It's a big chance to Ruva. He'll go for it, and he's over. Sania Taruva scores.
As thoughts on this one?
As soon as they went up, or as soon as Taruva went over, I said to Dad and my brother, I literally just said, this is going to come back. There's a disruptor there. Appy's been taken out without the ball. And we're watching it, and then we're waiting to see if try confirmed comes up on screen, and it does, and we're absolutely gobsmacked. I couldn't believe that one was confirmed. Like, I'll go back to the Parramatta game. We had a disruptor against us not called in the second half. We ended up knocking on from, and then obviously the one against the Dragons last week that Appy was disruptor for, when I'm pretty sure he contested the ball. I think most people would say he contested the ball or had a crack at it. But
he had his eyes on the ball, yeah.
Yeah, for this one to not be called, utterly frigging ridiculous.
Rob, did the commentator, I don't think the commentary even, I think I clipped it. I clipped this from the NRL's highlights, and they kind of stuffed up with their highlights. I didn't clip it very well. So I was working with what I had, but Rob, I don't think the commentators even mentioned it because, he literally takes him out, and we saw it. I was sitting next to you, as mentioned, the Appy one at Campbelltown. This, look, call me biased, I think this one looked worse.
I think it's definitely worse than the Appy one at Campbelltown, but remember, again, at Campbelltown, we hadn't used our challenge. Appy's a captain. If Appy really thought that he was 100% making a legal jump, he would have challenged it. But on this one, this is definitely more 50-50, but it's just, you know, I don't know if it's going to be different for other teams, guys, but let's just keep our eyes on the ball and play pinball with every person that's in the area, because that's what Liam Martin did. He had his eyes on the ball, but he never had a chance of catching the ball. He just jumped into the first player that was in front of him. It clearly disrupted our ability to defuse that bomb. Remember, disrupted. That's what it is. The disruptor, and then they get the bounce of the ball back, and then they've obviously got numbers because our guys were coming in trying to defuse the bomb. So again, just to be, you know, compounded by the non-sin bin, compounded by the chance between Naden and Staines, and then compounded by that, suddenly we're back at level playing field, and you're thinking, how, like, we should have a 12-point lead here, and we were at least a penalty there. Like, this, just too many things went against us, guys, and you just know, there and then, being a West Tigers fan, these things going against you for so long, you just know, even with over 40 minutes left, this isn't going to be our day.
I don't think I have audio. Like I said, they cut it pretty weird on the NRL highlight scene, so I don't have audio for the next Taruva try, but as the next one from memory was a pretty simple one, and by this stage, the boys looked a little bit fatigued.
You there, Aaron?
Oh, I thought you were gonna play another clip.
As I said, I don't have it because the NRL highlights didn't have it. Yeah, they cut it out. They didn't put it in. Yeah, it's their fault, not me.
Yeah, I thought that was just a really simple overlap they got there. They had a little bit of pressure on our line at the time, and it kind of just got to us eventually. And our wingers were in a little bit too far, and very, very easy for Taruva to score a double.
That try, Josh, came on the back of the junior Tupu, spill ball, a kick downfield. It's just literally that. We drop the ball, they get a scrum, they score. And that, good teams.
You knew it.
The errors. And, we just can't afford that. And you look, I thought Tupu ran the ball quite strongly. And obviously he had a bit to do with our try and a bit to do with the, what should have been the sin bin. But again, junior Tupu seems to have, you know, rocks and diamonds moments, and and you just can't, you know, like, he's too talented to be dropping a ball a game like this. He seems to do it all the time, whether it's, you know, trying to recover a goal line dropout, you know, of ours or something like that. He just seems to drop balls that you think, why is he dropping it? And, you know, obviously he didn't mean to do it, you know, shit happens, but, you know, why did it have to happen then? You know, like, it's 6-6 and we just needed to get into half time and just say, all right, guys, okay, things could have been better, but we're still even. Let's go out in the second half and get this.
Righto. So the half time we went in as at 10-6, and even despite the bullshit call, I was kind of thinking, well, we're in the game, kind of proud of the boys that they're within a try. I don't know about you. I think you boys feeling, yeah, a bit of mixed emotions. I feel like we should have been up, but feeling like we're still in the game. And then it wasn't until the 63rd minute we were holding on, but this happened.
Which releases Alamadi into that. He's over. First try is a Penrith Panther, Paul Alamadi. And that just might break things open for the Panthers. And Buller did his...
Rob, what were your memories and thoughts at this point?
Again, it doesn't it seem like whether someone's having a debut or someone's plucked from obscurity, whether it's Alamadi or whether it's, you know, Christian Inu for the Warriors that's been in reserve grade and comes on and scores a winning try. These guys just, it seems like they're born just to, you know, to hurt us. I don't know.
Inu kicked a winning field goal against us for the Bulldogs.
That's what I'm saying. We got all point, these guys, yeah, you know, that are just bums in their careers. You know, Tony Williams does nothing all his life. He plays a tight. He scores a try. Like, and again, like, you know, who would have thought that Alamadi was going to score a try against us? But look, that kind of that gave them that, you know, lead that obviously was more than 6 points now. So what was it, 16-6 after that? And then, you know, you're chasing your tail and, you know, you've got to be perfect from there. And look, when we played Para, we were behind. We did overcome ref decisions. We did overcome sin bins. We overcame a lot of things. You're kind of hoping deep down you can do it. But Penrith are, even without Cleary, they're a next-level team compared to Parramatta. So we kind of felt we had to score first in the second half and it didn't happen. And then it was just, okay, let's see how the rest of this game pans out.
Yeah. Has anything to add on that? I mean, the James Fisher-Harris try comes 8 minutes later. I don't think I clipped it, but I don't really want to relive it because I think the game really was, we knew it was kind of done. Yeah, the boys have run out of gas.
Yeah, by that point when we're chasing points, it gets a lot harder. And obviously we threw a lot of passes that didn't stick. A lot of simple errors and simple mistakes, and that's going to happen when you're trying to chase points against the best team in the competition. Credit to the boys. They fought hard. They didn't, like we said before, they didn't give up, but it ended up being a bridge too far. And I think up until the Alamadi try, I still thought we were a chance of winning the game, but as soon as Alamadi scored, I got very disheartened because that felt like it was going to be the end of the attempt.
Righto, let's get into your player ratings. Firstly, Coach Benji Marshall, despite the loss, yeah, fair amount. So basically 26% gave him an 8, 38% and a 7 there. So pretty good on old Benj. Rob, any thoughts? He used his whole bench this week. That's a start.
Yeah, look, I said last week, if, you know, I'm one of these guys, if it's a win, you get a 10. If it's a loss, you get a 0. But I'm going to be an absolute hypocrite this week. I was really happy with what Benji did. And again, I've said it a number of times already, the fact that he identified Penrith's right and we were, you know, getting those cutout balls done. You can see just in terms of, for example, if we just take Jareem Buller for a sec on his own, we've been wanting Jareem Buller to improve certain aspects of his play. If you go back to all our games this year prior to this week, every time we've got that overlap, Jareem Buller goes short. Okay, this week, Jareem Buller found the face ball. He actually threw it a couple of times. Unfortunately, he threw it probably a third time in the second half that went over everyone's head into touch. But the point is, they're developing. They're playing. It's going to take time. It's going to take a bit more combination. But now, you know, if opposition coaches, for example, are looking at Jareem Buller, they would have been saying, mate, Jareem Buller's going short every time. Well, now they can't think that. Jareem Buller kind of, you know, in a different way, was kind of very Latrell, because Latrell does love throwing that you know, long cutout ball, and we need to be able to do that, but we also need wingers on the end of those passes that can have the speed and you know, really put a dent and get into the attacking zone for us and maybe even score a try. Like, for example, if those face balls go to Charlie Staines, I think you're just about going to get a try, whether it's Staines or whether he sets up a support player for a try. So I just thought the game plan was really good and you know, obviously just came down to some poor execution. But again, I'm going to say it again, I honestly believe a lot of the mistakes we made would not have happened if we were playing from in front, because we did have to push the issue a little bit. So look, full marks to Benji, or you know, the whole coaching staff, whatever the game plan was. If I have to be a little bit negative, boys, I just want to say the red zone attack doesn't look very good. I don't know what it is. It's kind of like we're like, you know, a deer in headlights. I feel like suddenly when our boys know the try line's close, you know, just I'm just going to put it as bluntly as I can, we shit ourselves. Okay, and it's just almost like pretend the try line's not there, guys, and just play some footy, because we looked really good in our own half. We really looked good getting to the red zone, but then the passes suddenly just look really loopy, really clunky. It looks really slow. You know, we saw some quick runarounds a few weeks ago when we saw Caesar and Seyfarth and what have you. I didn't see any runaround. I didn't see anything at pace. I just saw very pedestrian play, but that's execution. That's not game plan. That just means the players, you know, didn't do what the coach is trying to get him to do. So again, on Benji, I can't fault him. I mean, obviously I can fault, you know, some interchanges and stuff from previous weeks, because I think the boys are getting tired, but you know, hindsight's 20/20, boys. Like, yeah, in a perfect world, knowing what's going to happen to Junior Tupu, you put it back on the bench. You know, we didn't have that luxury of knowing that. We've always bagged Tim Sheens for having one or two backs on the bench, and they get 5 minutes at the end of the game. So yeah, if you could redo it again, you'd put an outside back on the bench to, instead of having to do the Sheensy shuffle when you get an injury. But you don't expect a player to break his foot. And I don't, I'll be honest, I don't even know how Junior Tupu broke his foot. I don't even remember. Yeah.
I remember watching the game, and who was his center on that side?
Olam.
Olam made, no, who was, someone made a break, and if Tupo was up, was following with him, I'm trying to think who it was.
I think it was Olam, got ankle tap maybe, but with the ball this time.
Yeah, I felt like if Tupo was like following with him, he would have been away, but I'm like, what's Tupo doing? Why is he behind? I completely, and then found out he had a broken foot, so I was like, okay, kind of forgive him a little bit there.
He did well to guts it out for, gosh, it seemed like nearly 10 minutes before he came off just before half time. So credit him for staying out there, but you know, you wouldn't have thought he had a broken foot. The way he was, you know, the way he dropped that kick downfield, looked like he had two broken hands.
Right, your ratings, players themselves, 88% each for our two back rowers, Papali'i and Johnny Bateman. As seen some people, last week we talked about someone comparing Papali'i to Adam Blair, but yeah, he was a monster in this one. He was great.
Yeah, I thought he was really solid. Both of our back rowers probably felt like they did most of the work for us, but they were two of the guys who I thought were putting in the most effort for this one. And it shows, because as we're going to see in their stats later, they both feature rather heavily.
Third on the list there, Lockie Galvin, not far behind. Rob, what were your thoughts on Lockie in this one?
I thought it was a solid game. I didn't think it was anything flash. I mean, it was his first game in 3 weeks. But look, he did some really simple, basic passing early that got us going down the left. He put a nice grubber kick early in the game that Dylan Edwards had to bat over the dead ball line, and we got a goal line dropout from it. I think his touches are really classy. He didn't overplay his hand. It certainly wasn't a Parramatta performance or a, you know, future immortal performance. But the kid's 18, man. Like, that is still a good game. So, look, very impressed with him. Obviously, you guys mentioned the back rowers. The back rowers had great games. Surprisingly, like you said, there's a lot of dislike for Papali'i's effort. And I know he missed six tackles, but I thought in the first 15 minutes of the game, he was our best player. I actually thought he really took it up to the team, you know, to Penrith, and he stood up, and his hits were solid, his runs were solid, and, you know, he kept fending Luai off like he was a little nothing. So, I guess we all see the game differently, but, you know, he's not Superman. He can't do it all on his own.
A good barometer. So my wife used to, pre-having a kid, obviously a bit hard to watch games at the moment, she said to me, who's that guy with the mullet? She's watched a bit of the game with me. I'm like, it's probably in. She's like, basically took notice. And we're in defense at this point. She's like he's really good. So a good barometer is someone that has no idea. He just comes in with a blank sheet and notices something. So as anyone on that list with the ratings that you think hard done by or, that you want to pull out there? You're on mute, Az.
I'm not going to say two players because I'm pretty sure, if I remember rightly, one of the two that I'm thinking of is in my 3-2-1. But Alex Twal, I feel like he had a really solid game too, and it doesn't look like he's gotten quite as much credit as I thought he'd deserve. I mean, 54% isn't too bad, but it's not spectacular either.
Let's get into the players that everyone thought not so well. So Charlie Staines had 70% and Tupou 62%. Yeah, Charlie, I don't know, he worked hard, but Rob just, a couple of paces slow on a couple of passes there. I think the one by Baller was probably just a shit pass, but what were your thoughts on Stainsy in this one?
Yeah, I think Staines and Tupou basically had error-free games against St. George last week. So they were, I didn't even put them in our polls, but I thought they were excellent last week. But there seems to be a bit of a push against Staines, whether he plays well or not. I know he had some bad moments, but I really see him trying his hardest. I mean, I know he's, you know, probably not our long-term answer, but I never fault his effort where sometimes when I watch Junior Tupou, to be fair, not in the last couple of weeks, but sometimes when I watch Junior Tupou, I think to myself, is he really giving it his all here? Is he really trying? I always feel Charlie's trying, but I don't know if he's outclassed. And again, I don't know if he's getting the service. You know, he's got his third centre partner in six games already. He's had Stafford Toa, he's had Solomono Fatuape, and now he's had Brent Naden. So, I mean, he's had different people next to him all the time. He had John Bateman out there with him for the second half. So he's had basically four different people in the centres. So it's not easy, guys. But, yeah, I can understand some of the criticism for Charlie, but I see him trying his hardest, especially like running the ball out of our own red zone, like near our line. But I don't know. You get the Forbes Ferrari nickname and you want to see some flash and you want to, you know, I guess if he scores a try or two and makes a break, it'll be all for it. But, you know, he's not a tall winger, so he's not like an attacking threat. But, yeah, I guess I understand some of the criticism, but I find it hard to bag players that I think try their hardest every week. And in terms of trying their hardest every week, he's always up there for me. But, yeah, his execution, you know, especially not knowing where Naden was going to pass that ball, that can be the difference between winning and losing. Could have been 10-0 with a kick to come from the sideline. So I think people see those moments and say, you've botched that moment, you know, get rid of him, he's shit. And I think that's where a lot of that sort of dislike comes from.
So 43% of the votes for man of the match went to Johnny Bateman. So he gets a 3 for you guys. So it was tied on points. So that was the tiebreaker. So 3 points for Johnny Bateman for your vote, with Papali'i getting second. And Lockie Galvin snuck in for the 1 point there with the third highest votes. Az, run us through your 3-2-1 for this game.
So my 3 I gave to Johnny Bateman. I thought he was sensational. For this, I didn't take errors into consideration because it was a bit of a rough game all around for the team. Otherwise, I thought Johnny Bateman was spectacular. Gave him the 3. The other person on that list of players who didn't get a lot of votes in the play it well category, who I gave my 2 to, was Samuel Afenu. I feel like he showed that we really missed him in that game against the Dragons because he was brilliant. A lot of hard runs, a lot of great tackles, a lot of tough carries, just played a brilliant game, I thought, and really showed that he's got a lot of talent and he could be a player to one of the players to build our team around for the future. And Papali'i got my one because, like I said before, both of our back rowers played great games and were really the barometers for our team and getting us around the field.
Just looking back, not that many people said that Fainu played well, but he was excellent. Rob, let's run us through your 3-2-1.
Yeah, look, I almost went identical to Aaron. My 3 and 2 are the same. Obviously, I think that was Bateman's best game when he cuts out the stupidity. I think he's one of our best players. That was Samuel Afenu's best game as well. His numbers were fantastic, but he looks dangerous all the time. You've got to remember, guys, it's his first season with us and in the top grade. So for a young guy to be doing that really encourages me, as Aaron said, especially for the future. And look, I know in terms of output, it doesn't look like much, but having Brent Naden in the centres, I just felt like my house was safe. Like, I know he missed a tackle or two, but he just looked, he's quality. I mean, it's his first game back in first grade, took that bomb above his head just like it was nothing. And he looked sharp. And I think if Charlie Staines was standing in the right place, he gets a try assist. And I think he'll only improve from that. But I just thought it was good having him there. And no disrespect to Fata Ape, I think Naden needs to stay there. Given the injury to Tupu now, well, I mean, obviously we'll talk about this when we do the preview. For the Broncos game, it's just going to be interesting to see if Naden plays right centre or left wing, because he has played quite a bit of left wing with us previously.
I hope he stays in the centres.
I hope so too. But again, who are they going to pick for the wing? They don't seem to have faith in Lob City. And I don't know. We'll just see which way they go with that.
Yep. We'll preview that game tomorrow night as well. As it's a public holiday on Thursday, Anzac Day. Obviously, we thought, we'll do Tuesday night, so you got Wednesday work day to listen to it, and then have Thursday for your Anzac Day ceremonies and activities. So the scoreboard, Steph still on front, out in front, 21.5. Appy on 17, Buller 14.5. Young Lockie Galvin not far behind on 14, getting the point from you guys. So it's pretty even. Yeah, it's anyone's right. Even Caesar back there on 13, not far behind. Righto, stats man, what do you got for us this week?
Not a great stat tonight, unfortunately, but 11 out of 13 players in our starting 13 on the weekend made at least one error. The only two that didn't were David Clemmer and Fanua Pole. And I just went back and had a little bit of a look at our first two games last year, just as a slight comparison, because I know we made a whole bunch of errors in those first two games, to see just in comparison how many of our starting 13 made errors in those games. In round one against the Titans, 8 of our starting 13 made at least one error. And in our second game against the Knights, 3 of our starting 13 didn't make an error there too. So, I mean, it's a little bit worse, but not by much, but it's definitely something we're going to need to fix up. Obviously, I do believe the club is heading in the right direction. But once we get into the red zone, we do have a habit of throwing the ball away, and that's something that hopefully Benji and the crew will be working on fixing.
Team stat wise, possession 47% for us, obviously 53 for the Panthers. Completion rates, other way around. We're they're both black. It's actually confusing me a little bit. We're on the right. So 53% for us in this game, 47% for the Panthers. Our completion rates, look, 30 of 42, not good enough. 38 of 44 from the Panthers, so they were much tidier. Post-contact meters, we got 115 more than the Panthers. Line breaks, 4-3 for the Panthers, so pretty even there. Tackle breaks, they got 6 more than us. Play the ball speed, that's an interesting one. The Panthers look about 0.2 of a second quicker. Rob, I thought, again, got my Tigers goggles on. I thought Panthers were all over us in the ruck, and we were not getting getting some six agains when I thought we might have deserved some.
Oh, I probably didn't see it that way, Josh. I didn't really notice it. Like, normally I'm a big, obviously being a Tigers fan, like if there's a penalty again that needs to be called out for, I'm generally screaming at the TV like you guys. Look, I thought we matched them pretty well most of the game, but again, once they're a little bit ahead, they're hard to beat. You've got to try and push some things. The disappointing thing for me was, you know, obviously I've mentioned it a few times now, the Tupu simple drop catch from a kick downfield, Steph dropping the ball on the first tackle. I don't mind if there's errors when we're throwing, you know, 20-meter cutouts and we're trying to do something creative and constructive, but when it's just a simple drop of the ball, those are really hard to take. But like I say, they're human beings, guys. They've worked their asses off this year. Look, there's a lot to look forward to, and you know, I'm not just saying it because we're playing the Broncos this week, but I feel like we can just about beat any team on our day except the Broncos, and that's a good thing. I would not have thought that at the start of the year. I think we had a show where we actually said, like, which games can we win and can't we win? And I probably was, like, lucky to, you know, I think I was trying to start positive.
Yeah.
Half of them. But deep down, I thought, like, we got no chance, man. Can we win, like, three or four games at least? But what I'm seeing this year, I know if we bring our best, if we get a fair suck from the refs, that we're a chance of winning most games. But I look at the Brisbane team and I just think they're so dynamic, and I think they're the team to beat. And I think we're going to have a grand final replay from last year. But somehow Penrith we seem to match up well with, and maybe it's because we play a similar game to Penrith. It's just that they're better at it. And, you know, obviously they've got Nathan Cleary normally, and they're better at doing things than we are. But I feel like we've modelled our game on Penrith, and we're just kind of learning that game. But I've got to be honest again, I'm so glad I saw some enterprise from our own end of the field instead of these boring hit-ups, kick downfield. It was just good recognition by the coaching staff to find a weakness in Penrith that most teams haven't really identified yet.
15 errors, yeah, as mentioned earlier, almost every starter getting one, only 8 for the Panthers. Penalties conceded. Look, we won that one 4-1. Ruck infringements. So Panthers got two six agains off that. We didn't get any. And one inside 10-meter six again each on there. We had 3 players put on reports. Anything else there as kind of stands out? Missed tackles, 42 for us, 36 for them. So as Rob mentioned, like Luai, yeah, they were missing a few tackles there. They were, it's a little bit frustrating. I know they weren't obviously without the best player in the world, in my opinion, and Nathan Cleary. They were there for the taking. It's frustrating. But meters gained, leaders, Jareen Buller, he's in the 200s again, 224. Rob, you mentioned Nathan before that, yeah, statistically, he actually looked pretty good in this one. It wasn't until I did look at the stats that he actually looked, yeah, did a lot of work, 167 metres, and Johnny Bateman with 157. Post-contact metres, I didn't expect this. Jareen Buller was the leader in this one as 69.
Yeah, that was really surprising. It seems like he's able to stay on his, I think he was able to stay on his feet a fair bit after, like, when trying to make runs from like ball returns. And just to add on to what Rob was saying before about enterprise in our own end, I tell you what though, my heart's in my mouth every time we pass the ball off a kick return in front of our posts.
The long Charlie Sane passes and the Buller passes, they are heart attack material, aren't they?
They are a little bit, yep.
Aaron, can I just put you on the spot a little bit? I'll give you a heads up. It's about Fanua Pole. If you look up his stats for me, I'll be honest. I've only looked up Papali'i's because people were bagging him, and I noticed, you know, he had 6 missed tackles, and I looked up Luai. But I just want to know what his stats were, because, like, I've been a real big Fanua Pole fan, but he only got about 25 to 30 minutes of game time last week against St George. I'm just curious to know just roughly how many minutes he had and what his stats were like, because I've got to be honest, guys, on the eye, I thought he had a poor game, and I'm just hoping that's just me wanting him to be better as opposed to the fact that it might be the truth. I don't want it to be the truth.
57 minutes of 88 run meters, 14 kick return meters, 37 post contact, 9 hit ups, and tackling wise, he had 35 tackles, but 5 missed. So
there are a few missed tackles there, but he's got a fair output there. 35 tackles, that's pretty decent. I don't know. I'm seeing someone that looks a little bit fatigued to me. I don't know. Mm. It's not the guy that's got all that ball of energy that we normally see. Bringing kick returns back from the dead ball line, etc. I just feel like he's a little bit down on energy.
Shouts to Fanil.
His first stint was also almost 35 minutes. So he had a fairly large first stint playing almost the entire first half.
Yeah, that's good because he had no minutes last week. So it was very low, very surprising.
Shouts to Noons, the Fanil fan club leader in the Discord. He also had a bit of a shocker with his man Luka Doncic today as well. So not a good weekend for poor Nunes. Thinking of you, mate. Thinking of you.
You're always going to find a way to bring it up, weren't you?
I hate the Clippers. So I do. I hope Dallas beat them. Fuck the Clippers. Line breaks. The only person with more than one was Junior Tupou. Funny enough. Hit up wise, Fainu had 14 and Johnny Bateman had 14, so 14 apiece there. Tackle breaks, Johnny Bateman again. He's pasty white skin, got a lot of copy and paste in this spreadsheet. He pops up a lot. 6 tackle breaks, him and Papa there, and 3 offloads, so offload leader as well. Tackling wise, Appy Korosau had 41 with 6 missed. Puppy had 47 with 6 missed. And Pole 35 with 5 missed there. Righto. Benji Marshall press conference. Let's get Benji's opinion on the refereeing. No, I don't have it loaded yet. Here it is. Got it.
No, we talked about the grind and the cycle just back and forth with them and going toe-to-toe with them. And I thought we had opportunities that we blew out there. Staines in the right-hand corner in the first half. And even that trip on Justin Onum. And I've been pretty quiet about the refereeing, but I just feel like we're not getting the rubber of the green. Like, that trip to me is what I would say is a professional foul in the act of try-scoring opportunity. Where Justin Onum supporting to try and score a try. And he gets tripped up. How that's not a professional foul in a sin bin. I'll ask for clarification, but
thank you.
That hurt us too. Well, it was a penalty. It's a professional foul. Yeah. So how does it not get sin bin? Yeah, so it just feels like sometimes we're not getting the rub of the green. It's been a few weeks in a row now, and we'll get some answers on that.
And in that moment as well, because you had momentum as well, you felt like that was
when you
would start.
Yeah, look, I'm not going to say it would have helped us win the game or not, but there's just things that change the momentum of the game, even though we got the penalty, to play against 12 for 10 minutes would have really helped us. But again, we still had our chances. That's not the be all and end all. But I'm still proud of what the boys did out there.
Rob, I like how Benji handled that.
He's handled that perfectly, and he's got away without getting a fine as well. Mm. That's the first time I've heard that, guys. That makes it even more staggering that Graham Annesley doesn't clip that potential sin bin in his whatever he freaking calls that thing today. Okay, because all he has to do is just listen to the press conferences and hear what the grievances are and be prepared for those sort of questions. And the fact that he just wanted to get away with it, a bit like what happened on the field, if it wasn't a penalty to Penrith, we never would have got that reviewed, and that's quite staggering. So Benji's really impressing me with how he handles these press conferences. He's just upped it, from last year being an assistant coach. Like, I've heard his first couple of interviews as an assistant coach, and it was kind of scary, to be brutally honest. But look, he's really doing a good job as a coach. And I think now, potentially, if we go through a period of, some losses, I think this is really going to be Benji's biggest test in the, not so much about the wins and losses, but the fact that, can he keep the morale up? Can we keep just playing to the best out of our ability if we're not in touch with the eight? And I just feel like we might be getting in that sort of position now in the next few weeks. So very happy with what he's doing. He's proving that he's a worthy head coach. Players believe in him. They're still giving it their all. So I just hope that continues. But he's handling everything that's being thrown at him really well.
Just one more clip from Benji, and I'll get your opinion on it.
Really proud. I thought for 63 minutes there, we played a brand of footy that we've talked about wanting the team we wanted to be. And for 63 minutes there, we were that team. I thought we had them under pressure in terms of the back and forward field position. And they're a great side. And in the end, the last 17 minutes, I thought we forced mistakes by trying to chase points. You know, and the scoreboard pressure took over. But really proud of the guys and the way they played. And they put their bodies on the line for the game there.
As thoughts on Benji's comments there?
Yeah, I agree 100%. Until it really got towards it being very late in the game, and I think around the 63rd minute might have been when Alamotti scored his try. Until that point, we were well and truly in the game, and that's when we just started throwing those passes that, you know, the ones that weren't sticking, and we had other things go against us there. Like, we haven't even touched on what happened with Aiden Caesar late in the game yet, where he was about to pick up a loose ball, got called for a knock-on before he had started running down the field, and he was furious, and you could see that because we had to challenge it to keep the ball. But a lot of the time in those situations, they don't worry about blowing the whistle there. They let the play run out, and then they will see if the try gets scored, and from there they'll send it up to the bunker and say, set it up as a no try and let the bunker deal with it. But the fact that we didn't even get a chance to score that one late kind of just added a little bit of salt to the wound. And that was one of the good moments we had late in the game, or potential good moments late in the game, that was snuffed out from us.
I saw a Panthers fan say, well, it was only Aiden Caesar. He probably would have caught pretty quick anyway. Yeah, what's to say that Jurien Bullard doesn't find him within a few metres and Jurien Bullard has got the ball?
It's on the right side of the field. He picked it up. He's not going to get more than 20 meters, but there's nothing stopping him from linking up with support play, and then someone else can support that player. So, look, another poor call. The only thing that eases my pain with that is the game was over at that stage. We weren't going to win the game from that incident, but effectively, guys, in my opinion, from the time that Stefano dropped that ball on the first tackle, we never got down the other end until, you know, like literally in the last 90 seconds when I think Lachie Galvin might have been able to pin his ears back and score, and he flicked the pass out the back or something. We hadn't seen that red zone for 20 minutes. So Panthers really dominated field position for quite a bit of that second half. We did very well to hang on, but eventually all that work in defence told and they broke us down, and that's what Penrith do.
Team changes. So like I said, we'll be live tomorrow night, so we'll talk about Teamless Tuesday tomorrow night. But quickly, fellas, anyone who we thinking might come in?
I think there's obviously we've got one force change, and that's going to be Tupou out. And what do they do? Do they? I think Toa might be due to potentially come back this week. So if he is available, do they throw Naden on the wing and then stick Toa in the centres, or do
Toa on the wing?
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. That could be a bit riskier, although that's maybe an option as well. But then the other one is we all would like to see Alex Lobb. Maybe he just comes in for a straight swap. But there's a couple of options there they can go with. Caesar wasn't he was only fined for that contact on Schneider off that kick. So we don't have any suspensions to worry about out of the game. It'll likely just be that one force change.
Rob, any thoughts?
No, I agree with Aaron. I'm not sure which way they'll go. I think the safe option is to throw Naden on the wing and bring Fata Ape up. But to me, like, that's a very conservative option, but I don't like that option at all. I really want to see Naden stay in the centres. I think you can pick either one of the New South Wales Cup wingers. Whoever does take that spot is going to be playing left wing. If Dean Mariner comes back for the Broncos, that will be the right winger. I know Jesse Arthurs played right wing last week, but Jesse Arthurs would switch to the left wing provided Dean Mariner's back and Corey Oates would get dropped. So I guess it depends who they want to put. I mean, you're going to have a very fast. I mean, both Mariner and Jesse Arthurs are very fast wingers, so we definitely need some speed on the wing. Hopefully we can bring a bit of height in with Alex Lobb.
Righto, time for your comments of the week. And Rob, I believe, chose this week's winner. It is Ben. I can read it for you, Rob, because it's probably not big enough on the screen. For you, Ben said, officials are a disgrace currently, and I'm glad Benji actually called it out. Game started well, but then got the drops and lost our line speed, which gave Penrith too much to work with. I'm concerned that our red zone attack has become predictable again, as we had lots of possession but didn't build or maintain the pressure needed. Disappointing result given our start to the year. Nicely said there, Ben.
I think he covered it all. I mean, he covered the poor officiating. He covered how well we tried, and he covered how good sort of Penrith were as well. So, again, like Benji said in the presser, guys, really proud of the team, how they're playing. It's just, I think, like I said, the test with Benji is, if we keep losing, how many times can he keep lifting this squad and getting to be there every week and try their hardest? And it's just my opinion. I think we've played 6 games this year. There's only 2 games I really feel we came out poorly with a lack of urgency and with a lack of belief. And that was the Canberra game, our first game that we played. And I thought, as Benji said last week, we wanted the soft option against St. George. I thought St. George completely came out with a better attitude, better intensity. And other than that, I've seen all our games. I think we've come out looking like we were going to win, ready to win. Even the Dolphins game, even though we didn't play our best, I thought we were very good against the Dolphins with our attitude. So, look, 4 out of 6 games, we've really bought the attitude. And even in the games that I think we haven't bought the attitude, we're not getting blown out. Like, you know, the old Tigers teams might have just collapsed and lost 40-6. But we keep coming back to these guys when we do the previews. Where are we going to get our points from? That's the question we ask every week. Mm. This week we only got 6. Admittedly, we probably should have definitely got the Staines try after the penalty from what should have been the sin bin, and that sin bin incident obviously could have been 6 points as well. So maybe the coaching staff's identified we've got to score, we've got to chance our hand a little bit more from our own half, and we might be able to score long range tries. But you know, obviously the red zone's just really clunky, guys. That's, I'm sure Benji knows that. That's just got to improve. I don't know how they improve it so quickly. It looks very ordinary. But overall, just really happy with the direction we're heading as a club, off the field, on the field. We're getting more members. We packed out Campbelltown last week. Hopefully we get a good crowd this week. I mean, I'll be out there. I'm sure you guys will make the effort as well. But again, it's just, you know, I just feel like our season just got pulled from under us in the 12th minute mark of the game at Bathurst. It's just really disheartening, because I just want to be in the hunt for finals as long as we can. And I think we're good enough to be a top 8 team at our best. I really do. And I never thought that at the start of the year. So that's a sign that, to me anyway, that we've improved. But that red zone attack's just got to get better. If we get that right, we'll really, you know, be winning a lot more games than we have.
Ben, if you're listening, please, yes, send us an email, slide into the DMs, mate, and I'll pass on your details to Wes Ashfield. So, yeah, if you're not heading out to Campbelltown, best place to watch the game. And, yeah, Ben, you will have a $50 dining voucher to spend soon there. Other great comments. So Mario said, we need to get more from our 14. Appy needs a break. At 10-6, young Fainu would have provided some spark. Same with Papali'i. He needs a break to be fresh for some hard runs in the opposition 20. We are getting there, but just need that bit of spark. Josiah said, we gifted this game to Penrith through our areas. We're like a yin-yang symbol, showing the balance between our potential to win and our mistakes that prevent it. Overall, we showed the grit and determination that will make us a 2025 top 8 side. Lance Shepherd said, tried hard, silly mistakes and backline reshuffle didn't help, nor did Penrith officials. Frankie said, Charlie Staines forgot what team he was playing for today. It's a different game if we're up 12-0. Tupou's drop catch you might expect in under 12s, not in first grade. Such a shame. The rest of the team came to play today. P.S. In limited minutes, Latu looked sharp. I'd like to see more minutes out of him and his brother in coming weeks. Chris said, good effort overall. They just have a better game plan, systems, and a bit more class. We had a good crack. I love Buller, but he has to work extremely hard in his positional play on tackle 4 and 5 inside our half, especially defending our line. Riff Raff, all the way from Miami, Florida, said two words. Last pass could have been very different. That said, we had our expectations set high by the two wins. But in reality, I said at the start of the season, just want 80 minutes of effort every week, win or lose. We got that. They never dropped their heads and stayed in the fight. Kai said, Samuel, take a bow. You are amazing. The team played good footy for 65 minutes, but unfortunately, it's an 80-minute game. Either way, still a lot of positives to take out of this game with such a young squad that we have. On another day, a lot of those passes go our way, and we beat Penrith. Just wasn't our day today. And thank you to all of you that submitted your forms this week. Keep an eye out on Saturday evening as the game finishes against the Broncos for the form on our socials, Twitter, Facebook. Give us a follow at Westlife Pod. Also, if you're listening live on the YouTubes, or even not live, give us a like, please, and help the algorithm. So, yeah, why are you still listening to us? You're nearly an hour and a half in. Give us a little tick on that like for us. That really helps the helps us pop into more feeds. I got six this week. Rob, you got three, is that right? Only three?
Pretty poor week.
Four for Az, so I go into the lead, although a couple of guys in the Patreon comp are well in front of me as well this year. New South Wales Cup, the boys got smacked 40-14 out at Penrith. Let's not talk about that. Let's talk about the Harold Matts boys. They are into the grand final. They beat the Sharkies 8-6. I was watching this literally on my phone walking around Bunnings on Saturday morning, afternoon, around midday-ish. Was it the morning? Yeah, the girls were afternoon, I think. Either way, the boys, yeah, they're up. They scored two tries. They held on. The Sharks were close at the end to scoring, but they held on. So they're through to the grand final, playing against the Warriors, who upset the Bulldogs as.
Yeah, so basically in the Harold Matts comp, there were three teams that came into the finals undefeated. You had the Bulldogs in first, who had no losses, no draws, and then you had the Magpies in second and the Eels in third, who both had all wins except for one draw. So far, the Warriors, their run to the grand final, they've beaten two out of those three undefeated teams and they face off against the third one. So this is going to be an absolutely cracking game of footy. Like the Warriors, sixth place, they've proven that they've got what it takes in this level of the competition. I'm really looking forward to watching that one. It's going to be a really good game of footy.
In the Lisa Fiola, our West Tigers girls are through to the grand final as well. They carved up the Steelers. It's 32-14. The Steelers only got a couple of consolation tries late. They absolutely smacked and played some great footy. I watched that game too on Saturday afternoon. So they are both playing at Parramatta Stadium. I don't have the times in front of me. As we'll preview the games tomorrow night, but I believe they're 10:30 and 12.
I took a picture of NBWT's post because he posted it. Yep. So Lisa Fiola is at 10:30 and Harold Matts at 12.
So get out to CommBank Stadium, support our girls and boys. How good into the grand final. Super chats. We've got a couple through tonight. Thank you, Brendan. Man, Brendan, always, man, he's a super chat regular. He sent us $8 and said, proud the boys turned up to play. External factors always ruin this club's chances going forward. How big is a brown paper bag? Thank you, Brandon, as always. He sent us a super chat literally 2 hours before we went to air last episode too. Good on you, Brandon. Chris Cowles Beak, I think I said that correctly. The ratings for $5, he said, the rating system needs to be tweaked. Having only two options, either they are good or shit, is not an option. It should be more like the coach pick. Nice work, Chris. Paying us to read sold out.
Give yourself your
Patreon, I see. We might save the Patreon for tomorrow night because we're 90 minutes in. I don't know if they dropped anything. I didn't see anything before. But yeah, if you want to support the show, patreon.com/Westlife, because it's Tuesday. day. Might not have as much to talk about tomorrow night when we preview the Broncos. Our old mate Billy Walters for the Broncos as well. Maybe Jock Madden. Is Adam Reynolds? Do we know Adam Reynolds? Obviously, we'll talk about this tomorrow night, but
he's not likely. Sure.
He's likely.
Yeah, likely is what I've heard.
All right. Yeah, we'll preview that game as well. So thank you to the hundreds of you that joined us tonight. Look, the West Tigers lost three in a row, and we still get literally hundreds of you joining us live. And yeah, we truly appreciate coming back. Yeah, we'll have another winner's lounge eventually. Boys, anything to add before we say goodnight to Big Dog?
I'm assuming none of you guys watched the New South Wales Cup. Is that fair, or did any of you get to see it?
I was following the scores. They're playing at the same time as the girls, I think.
Okay. I was watching
the girls.
Given all the players we had coming back from HIA and what have you, I think that's a really disappointing scoreline, because we had quite a few of our guys, drop back, like Sullivan and Kapoa, et cetera, et cetera. And all I want to add, guys, is it's probably a good thing and a bad thing. David Clemmer kicked the ball less than 10 before full time against Penrith.
Wasn't bad.
I'm just glad he got that out of the way. I don't know if that gets him off the nudie run, but I literally, it did help me for about 30 seconds, because I was feeling really down, really depressed. And then I just said, what the F was that? And I just thought, okay, if you want to get the kick out of your way for, just so you can show your grandkids one day that you kicked a ball in a first grade game, you've got it out of the way. But I never want to see him kick a ball ever again as long as I live.
They asked him about that on the Matty Johns Sunday night with Matty Johns last night, which I thought was absolutely bloody brilliant. Yeah, it was a pretty interesting show on last night. They had Twally and Clem on the couch, and they gave Twally a little bit for his segment on the...
That's great too. Yeah.
Yeah, on the Thursday night version.
They
had Aaron Woods there replacing Brian Fletcher as host. So it was an interesting time. And I just want to say massive shout out to, I think, the culture of the club. Our NRLW squad, most of them were at Leichhardt on Saturday to watch the Lisa Fiola girls. A lot of the time you could hear Tigers chants going around. I think a lot of those were coming from that section of the girls up in the grandstand. And then when our girls were laying some massive driving tackles on the Steelers girls, some of them were big bodies and really, really strong footballers. Every time we laid a driving tackle on them, the girls NRLW squad were cheering, supporting the girls. And I just think that's a massive shout out to the culture of the club and what they're building there. When our 100%. Brand new NRLW team is going to Leichhardt on a sodden Saturday afternoon and cheering on the younger girls that we have at the club, I just think that's really, really good.
When's NRLW start as?
Same time as round 21. So round 21 in the men's is round 1 in the women's.
Okay. Looking forward to that. The girls going around again. Righto, see you in 22 hours time as we preview the West Tigers v Broncos. As always, boys, go the Tigers.
Go the Tigers.
Go the Tigers.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the West Life Podcast. Please follow us at West Life Pod on Instagram and Twitter, and facebook.com/WestLifePod. You can also support and take part in the show at patreon.com/WestLife, and give us a subscribe on YouTube and turn notifications on. We'll see you again next time on another episode of the West Life Podcast.